Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are still waiting on Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff to speak with the media. Of course, many of us, if not all of us, are waiting with bated breath to hear an update on Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin, who did leave practice very early into the practice. He was the first guy out there. Ultimately, no one really ever saw him leave or what happened. He was just kind of not there. And so, yeah, now it's kind of left a lot of us sort of on edge a little bit, just waiting to hear what's going on. This is a season that it's not as much hype as it was last year going into the year, but with Lindy being back, there is this feeling of, yeah, sort of know what was wrong, I guess, that it really could have been coaching. I was a big person that said it was coaching. But now, a Rasmus Dahlin injury 30 seconds into training camp, I mean, that's going to put a damper on this season very, very quickly. I mean, I am already somebody that yes, I think coaching played a huge issue into it. If Jack Quinn just played like 75 games last year, 65 games last year, I think this might be a playoff team. I think he was that good when he was playing.
I mean, he was basically a point per game player.
He had
17 points in, or not 17 points. How many games did he play
I'm looking it up. He was in 27 games last year, he had 19 points.
Yeah. Well, okay, that's not that close to point per game, but it's still, I mean, you almost have 20 points in 27 games coming off of an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
It's so I'm saying, like, really good.
If he just played 65 games.
Yeah. And you know, obviously it's not going to be that same pace throughout, but if you have a player coming off an injury like that and he plays, like you said, 65 games, puts up 50 points, that drastically changes the outcome of so many Sabres games.
Especially, you wouldn't have to change the lineup as much as you did. Right. He's ultimately there. You're working with it.
You're not trying to jumble the lines and figure out, oh, what's going to work, what's not going to work. It's something that I hope becomes a constant this season of he's here and he's fully healthy and he's back to what he was for the short period we had him last year. And it's just like, that's what the Sabres need. They need consistency. There's been so many injuries on both the forwards and the blue line over the past few years. I mean, look at Matias Samuelsson. He looked to be a great shutdown defenseman, which the Sabres haven't had in years, and just gets injured, tries to play through it for a little bit, and then has to just ultimately miss the rest of the season, comes back, doesn't look like his normal self in terms of the defensive ability, mm-hmm. gets injured again, misses all of last year, almost. So as long as he can come back and be what he was 2 years ago, that makes that contract worth it, because don't forget, they signed him to a 7-year deal. Granted, it was only for 4.3, I think it was.
Yep.
But still, another guy that has a 7-year deal that's on this roster that needs to get back to where he was. That's kind of the recurring theme in terms of the younger players on this team. You have Tage Thompson, Dylan Cousins, Matias Samuelsson. Even if you want to look at Rasmus Dahlin, Dahlin's been great. But there's one more step I think you could ask him to take.
Mm-hmm.
And that's being the true leader. If he is going to be the captain, that's just the last bit of his evolution.
It's the last bit of his evolution. I think a lot of people, though, would want the consistent Norris player caliber.
Right, yeah. You know, but at the same time, the Norris sometimes doesn't mean anything to me. It's the most offensive defenseman.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Because every year you'll have a great defenseman that's a true defenseman that's scoring points, yes, but look at their numbers in terms of their defensive zone, breaking down, all that stuff. That's what it's the best defenseman. It's not the most highest scoring defenseman. I remember John Carlson won it because he had 102 points.
Paul talks about it all the time, where it's just like, it's kind of a weird award. It doesn't end up actually
Yeah,
always
right.
going to if the best defenseman.
And I get it. It's hard to, you know, say who the best defensive defenseman is. But if you wanted to do that, you know, you give an award for the best defensive forward,
mm-hmm.
give an award for the best offensive defenseman. Why not? I mean, there is already too many awards.
But I was going to say, there's a lot of awards.
There is a lot. But you could cut a few of them out. The William Jennings one, I don't know.
What's that one?
That's the one where they combine the two goaltenders, this goaltending tandem had the best save percentage goals against average.
That feels very participation trophy worthy.
Yeah.
That does not feel great.
It's like you have one trophy for two people. Come on. You already have the Vezina. The best goalie.
Yeah. And it's the thing, yeah, like you just, especially with how defensemen have changed. Oh, and we do have Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff speaking with the media now.
With your players? Felt good to get out there. You know, we've been putting a lot of work in, and finally it was just an opportunity to get out with the group and watch, you know, the different drills, the compete drills, and just see these guys operate at ice level.
You know, Lindy, when you were skating around right before the start of practice, you've had the job for 5 months, but what was going through your head? I mean, you haven't practiced with this club in 11 years.
I'm just thinking about let's have one heck of a practice, really. Looking around at some of the size, you know, watching some of the speed, you know, just those opening laps. You know, later on practice, the ice was pretty bad, you know, and it didn't look quite as good. But, you know, to start, I just say it was a good feeling just getting back out.
Do you allow yourself to soak it in at all and kind of be nostalgic, or is it simply work?
No, it's just work right now. Really, it's moved on from that point and making sure that we're trying to cover off almost every detail so we put ourselves in a great place to be where we want to be at the end of the year.
When you get a new group that you're coaching, Lindy, do you try to early on in a camp like this to see how far you can push them?
Well, you know, I think if the focus on today was like a high compete, real high compete, a lot of individual battles, a lot of physicality. There was a couple drills that pushed them to the limit. You know, the practice, you know, some of the details inside, we had to slow up a little bit, which made the practice a little bit longer. We wanted to see the compete first. I think you can build your fitness in those compete, some of those up and down the ice for 5 minutes. That's a tough skate for him. So I was impressed. I liked the day. I liked the practice. I liked what the group did.
I'm sure that this practice is a bigger statement than anything you could have said to these guys yesterday. But what message did you really want to press upon them, you know, entering this camp, and what was at stake?
That from day one, we want to get better every day. That we want to put the work in. I want them to challenge each other to be better as a line, be better as a D pair. You know, we're going to play a little bit different, so I want them to get comfortable with, you know, some of the breakouts and how quick we want to play and getting out of our zone quicker. So with the group really was just bring energy, bring enthusiasm, get better from day one to the last day of the year.
What was the reason for Darlene's departure?
Darlene just, I mean, I'll just say this. I've got no update, but it was just one of those things you pass in a puck and, you know, something happened. So, you know, precaution got him off. He's going to get looked at, and then we'll find out what's going on.
Upper, lower?
Kind of mid-range, I think.
Physicality out there.
I got to tell you right now, it wasn't lower. So,
some of that physicality out there. We saw Krebs kind of bump Thompson into the boards there. We saw, you know, lots of guys working along the boards. Do you like seeing that kind of physicality?
There is some non-negotiables. Some of that physicality is something that we need to end plays. We got to become a better team at stalling plays and getting out of the zone in a hurry. And a lot of those can be done by eliminating the first man. So we're going to work hard at that part of the game.
You stopped the drill and kind of corrected the guys about going offside. Was it important even the first day that you just right away
you get on them in a good way.
And I don't, no bad habits. You know, whether that's using your hand in some of the D-zone, you know, or hooking. But, I mean, the obvious is if we're going to see a penalty, I'm gonna stop the play. We want good habits. The one thing I don't like is that I don't like careless penalties. I think it's one thing that we get to control. So whether it's a free hand, whether it's, you know, tugging when you're hooking, use your legs to back check. Don't use your stick.
What was it like to first practice the first day of camp to have your NHL team? It's out of necessity because of your schedule, but you've probably never had that before.
I've never had that before. Put a lot of thought into that. There's a part of that kind of tears into the heartstrings of all these young kids that get to come in, and you know, you mix them in with the NHL veterans, and it's the, you know, kind of a thrill of a lifetime. But there is a greater need to get this group together really quick and understand how we need to play and some of the puck decisions we need. And the compete I wanted to see was NHL against NHL. I want to see, you know, guys that had a lot of games under their belt competing against other guys that have a lot of games under their belt. You know, I think sometimes the compete gets distorted when you're, you know, first-year guys or second-year guys who are, you know, just starting to mature have to play against the, you know, the fourth, fifth-year type of players.
What did you see with Samuelson on film? What do you think you have there? I know he's had trouble staying healthy. But what do you think you have there?
Big, strong, heavy defender that's hard to play against, that can really help us on a night-to-night basis defensively. Plays hard and plays the game the right way. I think he was dearly missed here. Not knowing him, but, you know, watching some of the film, watching early when he was in games, that's what I see.
Kulik was out there, you know, with this group. What did you see over the weekend, and what did you see now that he's up against NHL?
He had a real impressive prospect tournament. At first, from just work ethic alone, I thought was really good. He's got a great shot, skates well. I thought his compete inside the game was good. He did a lot of great things. He was the guy you noticed the most. And I'm not even looking at the offensive side of it. I mean, he's got a bullet for a shot, which, you know, you can't teach that. You have it or you don't, and he's got it. But, you know, play at this level. Can you play away from the puck? Can you skate with him? His skating, I was impressed with his skating. I was impressed with his level of strength, you know, in one-on-one battles and keeping guys at bay, too. So, very impressive young man.
What was the best thing about being out there today?
That I didn't get hurt. I almost got hurt. But the... it's just you know, to get a gauge on how big and how fast we are, really. Even to watch, you know, a Lafferty and a Mellenstein and those type of guys. You know, you can sometimes watch it on video and you get a read, but when you get on the ice, you get to see it firsthand.
What are your first thoughts seeing Beck up close? I mean, you've played against him, but just seeing him up close, what have you noticed?
Who are you talking about?
Beck, I'm sorry.
What's that?
Beck Mellenstein.
Oh, yeah. You know, he's a really hard competitor. Like, he makes people pay a price. If you're going to move a puck and he's near you, he's going into your heart. And he's got a really good burst skating, so he can get to you. I mean, it's one thing to be able to be physical, but he can get to you and he knows how to hit.
You mentioned in your intro press conference, like, the importance of some of those role players, you know, down in the lineup. What do you think, I mean, the game's changed a lot, but what do you think the importance of guys like Mellenstein, Lafferty, O'Bakerville, what that can do, you know, for the overall team?
Well, it can wear the opposition out. It's a lot of times the opposition go, not those guys again. You know, it can help in heavy schedules, back-to-back games where there's a lot of times you need four lines. You know, you shorten up the length of shifts, and that line gives you 25 seconds of high energy. Not saying that will be the line, but that's the line that we're looking at right now. It's an element that I think other teams will be aware of. When you can send out a group like that can get down low, hang on the pucks, and physically fend you off. And
And they're good skaters. I mean, Lafferty is a tremendous skater, too, at the same time.
Last year was the first year Lucan was able to, we saw him play 54 games, and that's the first time he counted in the NHL. What are your thoughts on your goaltenders? I mean, if he's going to do that again, is that enough time for Devin, or would you like to pull him back a little and have Devin play?
You know, Paul, I don't have the answer to that right now. I think the answer will become, you know, what happens during the play, how they play, how UPL is still playing, how Devin plays when he steps in. I think, you know, that'll dictate how many games. I really feel it, for the most part, we've become a two-goaltender league. For Devin's development, obviously, he needs to play. So, you know, I think we'll have to weigh that as the season unfolds.
What was your first impression of the group? Obviously, you're trying to make an impression on them, but what was the impression you got from them?
I thought they worked incredibly hard today. I thought they, you know, we had a meeting before we went out. I thought they gave me everything they had. And like I said, we want this to be a highly competitive 2 days. You know, working a lot of, you know, D-zone and tracking, trying to become a better defensive team and trusting where people are going to be. So I thought the details for what we were trying to do were good, and they executed well. Thank you.
There was Buffalo Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff there meeting with the media. Not really much of an update, though, on Sabres defenseman Rasmus Dahlin ultimately calling it, I believe, a mid-body injury. Definitely not lower.
Yeah. Well, and Paul tweeted it out right here. Lindy Ruff says that Dahlin was passing the puck and something happened, so they got him off as a precaution.
Mm-hmm.
Getting him off as a precaution is one thing. Off as a precaution for the entire practice, just because he was, I don't know. It's...
I don't feel great.
I don't...
Mainly because nothing has changed.
I mean, we're going to know more, obviously, tomorrow. If he practices tomorrow, well, then we're fine. Yeah. But
he's going to be assessed. It was precaution. We were mentioning it there when he was talking because we were sort of discussing it.
Yeah.
He did say it, I don't want to say in a jovial manner, but, you know...
He kind of chuckled a little bit, though. He joked a little bit. You don't... If your star defenseman gets hurt in the first day of practice and it's not something that you think is super serious, you're not going to...
I would say even joking about just past
not even
player.
Not that he was joking about it, but it was that chuckle doesn't just happen.
I would even go past our player, likely captain.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I mean, that's something that's still to be announced. I'm sure they'll announce it.
I think Adam said something, or I saw somewhere somebody said it was like during Europe they were probably going to announce it.
Okay,
the European trip. So we'll see on that.
It was a quote mid range. Injury.
Thank you. Because that helps everybody.
And he also said it was definitely not lower body. So
it's the most details we got on the injury.
Hey, I mean...
Is that it's definitely not lower body.
It's not a high ankle sprain.
It's a fair point, actually.
It's not the Jack Eichel injury. But also, I mean, look at it this way, right? A lot of what Alex Tuch had to say was, yeah, today was really hard. You're tired and stuff. And that's a lot of what Lindy Ruff was just saying there. Getting the guys out there, getting them active and getting them up to speed. And focusing on the fitness and things like that. If you have a potential, as he called it, mid-body, mid-range injury in something with like the core or something like that, if you have something like that with Dahlin where it's minor and you're pushing him on the ice,
it could make it worse. Yeah.
So it's like a, hey, we know we're going to go pretty hard today. Maybe we
no
just...
No reason for you to be out here right now with that.
Right, exactly. So that's kind of the
it's a positive way to look at
the
it.
The optimistic spin I'm trying to take on it. The other spin is, well, we have no idea what's going on.
It's probably near, if not fully, the correct way to look at it.
Yeah.
Again, I think it's fair to look at the jovial nature in which he was sort of discussing it. But, yeah, no real update on it. With that being said, though, he seemed to be pretty happy with where practice went today. Very happy with Jiří Kulík.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way he talked about like the shooting and the off the puck stuff. I mean, that sounds like what
he could have talked about his shot for like an hour.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, but that's how everyone's talked about Jiří Kulík since he's been drafted. Yep. So it's good to see that that's still there because I was one that was starting to worry. Is this kind of a part of his game that's disappearing as he goes up the levels?
Yep.
Right, as he goes up further towards closer towards the NHL, because there were times last year in the AHL where he did have spells of, you know, missing or not scoring. I mean, he would obviously go on, you know, these rampages of scoring like 6-7 games in a row.
Yeah.
But then he would just disappear for a while. Mm-hmm. And to me, that was something that was a little worrying. But if, you know, if he's looking at it here in the prospects challenge, saying, you know, one-on-one battles and skating off the puck along with the shooting, all that's coming to fruition, then I think that that's something that's very important in terms of the role they're going to need him to play this year and then also moving forward. If yeah. he does, in fact, make that opening night roster. And I mean, it sounds like this team that was practicing with Lindy today, the blue team, as they called it, it sounds like that team's the one that's going to Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and Kulik was out there, obviously.
Kulik was out there. I'm wondering, we were talking about it before the show even started, I'm wondering if they're putting him in a position of, quote unquote, you're on the team until you prove that you're not on the team.
Right.
I do wonder if that's sort of what this training camp is going to be for him. Again, not being in practice, very much going off of what the first roster is. I do wonder if that's what they're thinking with Kulik is. We're going to push you. You're on the team right now
yeah.
until you prove you can't be. You can't be there opening night. Also mentioned Devin Levi. I thought that was something of note as well, especially I think many of us have mentioned, you know, he's a guy, he's a coach, one goaltender.
Dominic Hasek,
and he works him into the ground yeah, kind of deal. Right. And he outright mentioned, he goes, it's a two goaltender league.
Yeah, I think that was, I mean, that was something that Kevin Adams said as well. So mm-hmm. it's good that they're in lockstep there. I just hope that that's the sort of mentality that can stay there. Not with the coaches and the management, but more so with Devin Levi and yeah. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. I mean, you know, Levi seemed to be the type of goaltender that would want that, you know, I'm going to play 60 games a year,
mm-hmm.
right? And that sort of goaltending style. But if the way they're trending is, no, we want two goalies, we want to rotate them, we want, you know, kind of
we want
50-50 split.
Fresh guys out right. there most nights.
Which is fine, but I got to wonder if it ever gets to the point where we got to ride the hot hand and the old you're our guy until you're not
mentality. Well, and that does come into what Lindy also said, too, though, about Levi, which is he has to play.
Right, exactly.
He needs game time.
To be fair, too, I mean, it's even past the Sabres, right? I mean, mm-hmm. you look at all of the other places he's been in his career. He did this in Dallas. He tried to do it in New Jersey, but he didn't really have the ability to because of the goaltenders that were there. So I think maybe this is one of the areas you see how, you know, early 2000s Lindy is going to be different from early 2020s
yeah.
Lindy. So it's going to be interesting to see where that goes. But again, I think it very much hinges on what UPL and Levi can do early on in the season.
It's going to be a lot of fun. That's going to be definitely something to keep an eye on as well. And that's maybe, I think, the thing I took away most from this press conference
yeah.
is the comments about Devin Levi. I was right. somebody I was kind of on board of, like, he's probably going to play in Rochester, and I'd honestly prefer it. I'm in lockstep of he needs game time rather than
yes,
he's just on the Sabres.
If you can get him game time, like if there's a path to get him game time in the NHL, you do it.
You do it. Yeah, 100%.
And that's where I think he as a goaltender is at, because of the way he's been perceived as a prospect and in terms of his development so far. If there's a way to get him game time in the NHL, you do it until it doesn't mm-hmm. work. It's the same thing with, I mean, it's a little bit to a lesser extent, but it's the same thing with Kulik. If you can get him into the NHL, you keep him there until it doesn't work out for you, until he's, you know, showing signs of, all right, we got to get this kid a break, right?
Yeah.
And that's just kind of where it's at. I mean, Levi is 22, so it's not like the clock is ticking by any means.
No, he's not 25, 26, and you're like, right. oh, this is now
Luukkonen,
a missed
on the
prospect.
Other hand, yes. is 25.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have, but again, goalies are different. Goalies are like wine. They age. They get better with age. So you have to be precautious here in terms of if Levi doesn't work out so right away, it's not the end of the road. He's still 22.
Yep.
He has time.
803-0550, the number to call. How are we feeling about the Sabres as training camp practice begins today? Again, not really too much of an update on Rasmus Dahlin, but it is also, it could be taken as one of those things of no update is a good update, I guess, in that sense. It does seem to be a mid-range injury. That coming from Lindy Ruff, happened early on in practice, just passing the puck, and ultimately they took him off the ice as more of a precaution. And as Josh did mention as well, They had a hard practice. It could have been much more along the lines of no reason to push it. We'll see how you're feeling tomorrow. Again, 803-0550, the number call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WG.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yeah.
The focus on today was like a high compete, real high compete. A lot of individual battles, a lot of physicality. There was a couple drills that pushed them to the limit. Practice, you know, some of the details inside we had to slow up a little bit, which made the practice a little bit longer. We wanted to see the compete first. I think you can build your fitness in those compete, some of those up and down the ice for 5 minutes. That's a tough skate form. So I was impressed. I liked the day. I liked the practice. I liked what the group did.
There was Buffalo Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff just a few minutes ago with the media. And you are listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. High compete practice went a little longer. They had to call back some of the drills as well. Saw a lot of media members talking about how impressed they were with that or how happy they were that that was happening.
Just the accountability part of that.
That is going to be the word of this
season.
That's
the base. If you want to talk about quote-unquote accountability,
mm-hmm.
him just simply calling back a drill because you're offsides, that's like the base level.
Yep, 100%. And
I think that's going to go miles in terms of, you know, just getting the little – and he also talked about, like, the careless penalties, right?
Mm-hmm.
He had a lot of, like, good, like, just hockey dude quotes in that. Of back check with your legs, not your stick.
You get excited for that, and I roll my eyes because I'm just like, all right, here we go with the cliches.
I don't know why I get excited for that, but it's just like, you know, if that leads to success on the ice, you're going to...
Oh, no, 100%. 100%.
You know, it's... But again, it's all, you know, cheesy cliches, but at the end of the day, if they work out in the right way, if they succeed in what they're trying to mm-hmm. get the players to do, then who cares? Be
no,
as 100%. Cheesy as you want. Hang a... You know, motivational poster of a cat in the locker room if you need to. I don't care. Just find a way to win.
I find myself getting very, very frustrated. And we've talked about this off air and on air of just like this team had professional hockey coaches for not just Granato, but for years, and they just couldn't do the most basic things correctly.
Right.
And we find ourselves getting excited because they are doing the basic things at all. And that to me is a frustrating place to be. I get it. It's not abnormal for that. I do understand that. For years, we were talking about that with the Bills of, I don't know, guys, send people to actually scout college players instead of just their tape. You know, like stuff like that. I get it. But I am in a spot, too, of like, I mean, if you just did like the basic things for years, you probably aren't in the spot you were in or now in for 13 years. I'm not saying you were winning a cup or winning a playoff series, but we're probably looking at maybe a 4 or 5 year playoff drought. You had a year or two there mixed in where it's like, hey, they made it. I really shouldn't have.
Right.
But it was a good growth period, and that's why they're here now where, it has been 13 years of garbage, mm-hmm. and it has been long enough for a lot of players who are young in the NHL going, I literally do not remember the Sabres being a good hockey team.
Well, that's the thing, too, is, I mean, someone tweeted out that Konstantelainis, the newest draft pick of the newest first-round mm-hmm. draft pick of the Sabres, he was born during the 05-06 Cup run.
Oh boy! Wow,
like that's oh boy, that's crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing is, it's not even just bringing up the last time they made the playoffs. It is just straight up when they were very good.
May 11th, 2006 is his birthday.
Oh wow, that's
that's like, you know, the Sabres are beating. If it was May, who'd it be? Probably be like the second round.
Yeah, is this 05-06?
Yeah,
yeah. So the Senators.
Yeah.
That might be the end of Ottawa.
Yeah, the end of Ottawa, beginning of Carolina.
Yep, Carolina.
Right.
But just I don't know, and it's where, and it is going to be bad on me, but I this is why I bring it up, just for context of like, I need to see it on the ice. I need to see it on game days.
I'm totally for me
to be fully bought in, it really at all anymore now, because I've gotten burned now a few times by this team of just being like, good job, guys.
Yeah, right.
Like, great. This is awesome. So I'm so thrilled. I spent money to go here, got excited, got the goosebumps at the big video.
It once again looks fantastic on paper, but once you put it into action...
Here we are.
Yeah.
Hellenius was born on game 4, Sabres, Senators.
No.
Wow.
Right at the end of the series. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Paul in Buffalo on the line. Paul, good morning. How are we doing today?
Guys, it never ceases to amaze me how lovey-dovey the relationship between the Sabres beat reporters and Kevin Adams is. This is a guy who in 5 years has dissipated an absolute dragon's treasure hoard of draft picks and prospects to build a roster that we hope can be the 8th seed in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And not one person bothered to ask him why Beck Malenstein wasn't offer sheeted. Because if you look at all the parameters, we could have offer sheeted him to the exact contract he already signed with us at the no compensation tier. And at the time, the Capitals were $10 million over the cap. So we gave them the 43rd overall pick just because we're so successful in Buffalo and we have extra draft picks. And Paul Hamilton won't bring it up. Lance Lysowski won't bring it up. Mike Harrington won't.
All right, Paul. Thanks for the call. I get it. I know. Every time you call in, Kevin Adams is the worst disaster that's ever happened to the Sabres. I get it. No one offers sheets in the NHL. I'm sorry. The league does not like doing it. I don't understand
it. The Blues doing 2-in-1 day was literally revolutionary.
News. It was literally news that they had offer sheeted anybody.
Yeah. And granted, there were two very good players. But
a treasure trove of draft picks. We don't see that many trades in the NHL.
Yeah. Right.
The best thing to do with those draft picks was to create a treasure trove of prospects to build up a young roster. Mm-hmm. Yes, that you hope will be the eighth seed, which if they hit like they did a few years ago and have competent goaltending, they'll be one of the better teams in the Eastern Conference. They were scoring at an unbelievable pop, and they just couldn't get saves.
And if you want to talk about, oh, you have all these prospects, Matthew Savoy was used in a trade for Ryan McLeod.
Which I get, you know,
but you don't know what you're going to get out of Ryan McLeod. You don't know what you get about Matt Savoy.
Well, not only that, but I think that's another point too. Stop overvaluing prospects and picks.
Yeah, right.
And it's not just a Sabres fandom thing. I think that's an NHL and really any kind of prospect fandom thing in sports.
Because out of the draft,
baseball as well. Just because you think this prospect is good, look what Matthew Savoy was. I mean, when he was drafted, he's Danny Briere, regen. Right. That's who he is. In reality, he's an undersized but probable winger rather than center. And yeah, you get a solid two-way guy who's fast to come over here.
Injury potential.
Yeah, I mean that's what it is.
Because that's what he suffered throughout most of his time in the juniors. But I've
mentioned it. Adams, I'm up and down on. I think he's botched one offseason. Outside of that, I think he's done great in terms of rebuilding credibility with the Sabres, rebuilding them at all being able to draft. This is a team that for almost over a decade could not draft past the first and second overall pick. He got to that point where we're actually getting excited about second, third round prospects coming in. He missed 2 years ago in terms of just staying the course, keep the young team, don't want to take up too many spots. That's what that was. It was a miss. I don't disagree. But to act like he is the worst thing ever and that it's a joke now that he's not being put to the fire, which, cool, that doesn't happen in press conferences. Like, newsflash to a lot of fans, that does not happen anywhere. You will not be given press credentials. You can ask some hard questions, and yes, sometimes it gets to a point where every question is a hard question, but we're not really there. It doesn't happen all that much. It just doesn't. I get it can be frustrating, but I see it all the time on Twitter and on YouTube comments and even just with some fans where it's just like, well, they keep asking them. They're not going to answer it. You're not going to get the answer you want. You're just going to be left frustrated. So why ask? What's the point? They've put themselves in well before Adams got here. They put themselves in this position and they're trying desperately to crawl out of it. You have a league that has no trade clauses. You can't just go and get superstars because you have all these draft picks. Do we want them to make a trade just to make a trade? Even if it's bad, if it's terrible, do we want them to spend a ton of money just on players just because, well, you haven't spent to the cap? Do it. Sure, we're going to be here again. I actually do kind of like where their offseason went. Rebuild the bottom six. make that a tough group to play against. You said it. I mean, with Lindy Ruff, we were in the break of like, make that a unit that when they come out on the ice, the opposing team's going, oh my gosh, like these crazy people again.
You haven't had that since when you barely had it in around 2016 when you had Okposo and Gergensen's. Hey, look, there's a recurring theme. And Johan Larsson. I mean, that was the line that was kind of that version of it, but that's the closest you got, and they weren't even really that good.
Yeah.
That's something you haven't had since, and again, it's a changing league. It's times are changing in terms of what players will do in certain scenarios and certain, you know, roles on the ice, but you haven't had that sort of style since the early 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And you haven't had that.
You've been a very top-heavy roster.
Right.
That is, a lot of the times, it's up and down.
Who, okay, if they don't do it, well, I guess we're going to hope for one goal.
Which is where, like...
It went from Eichel and Reinhart to Eichel and...
Skinner,
and then Reinhart was still there, but you didn't really know what to expect out of him because he was on your second line half the time. And then it went to, all right, now it's Tage. What's Tage going to do?
It's just, for me, a lot of it, and again, I think it all comes back to drafting. This team was abysmal at drafting. They could do...
For like 10 years.
They could do the first and second overall pick, and that was about it.
Yeah.
Now, again, as much as I've defended him, I guess, now in this segment, if they don't make the playoffs this year, I think you should fire Kevin Adams. I think you should. And that's fine. That's understandable. Well, I think even Kevin Adams' attitude kind of points to he thinks this is it.
In the season, because...
Sure.
Yes, this offseason, there wasn't many big moves, but what they did... If it works out throughout the season and they don't make the playoffs, it depends on can you make moves in season?
Mm-hmm.
Will you try to make moves in season to improve your team? There's so many intangibles that go in throughout the season itself where once you're halfway through the year, the offseason doesn't matter unless it's really, really bad or really, really good.
Yep.
If it's midway through, like if it's a middling thing, you have to be able to go out and make a move that makes your team better.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones here. We've got Glenn on the line. Glenn, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hi, good morning, guys. Hey, I just have one question. I don't follow hockey all that much, but boy, when I listen to you guys, we talk about regression a lot. Mm-hmm. Why is that okay in hockey and not okay? We don't talk about it in basketball or football. Mm-hmm. Can you help me understand that?
I think a lot of it, Glenn. Thanks for the call, man. Basketball is a little bit different. They probably should talk about regression more, but a lot of it actually comes down to with basketball. Those guys that are now coming out of high school or they're 1 year in college, a lot of them won't actually play all that much in the first few years outside of the first, second, third overall pick. Right. With hockey, I think it's sort of the same thing. It's young guys. They're 18 years old. They're still developing into their bodies, the whole thing. Where with the NFL, you're more often than not, drafting 21, 22, 23-year-olds.
And they're coming in and playing right away.
And they've had 4 years of college football or 3 years of college football, what have you, where with a lot of these players, it is up and down on where they actually played.
Yeah.
You know, it could have been overseas. It could have been in the OHL. You know, it would have
and you. Also have, you have those players that return to those teams, like Matthew Savoy, Dylan Cousins. These players, like Zach Benson's like one of the few players out of the last few years and one of the only players to not be in the top five that has played for his team right away.
Yeah, and so ultimately to the main point, why we talk about regression, it's truly just because it's not a straight line for a lot of these guys. It is up and down. It is, you know, they're moving around a lot on different lines, different teammates, what have you.
It's not like in football, it's you're here, and if you don't work, well, see ya. If you do work, cool, you're in the lineup. Mm-hmm. With hockey and even with basketball, it's, all right, well, you look good in this area. You got to work on this. Have fun in your junior team. We'll talk to you in a year.
And basketball doesn't even really do that.
I mean, right. Well, basketball, I mean, you have
to. If you go to the G League, you're essentially not even a player. You're right. Hoping and praying you become like a bench guy.
That's where basketball and football are a little different or a little similar in terms of, you know, the importance of like getting in there right away.
Yeah.
But with hockey, you have a long time to, you have a big leash essentially to kind of prove yourself.
Yep.
And that's where you can have a player go from something to nothing and then back to something again.
Yep.
Which we've seen many times.
803-0550 is the number to call. Mark, hang on the line. We'll get to you after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We are getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. And we now go back to the phones. So we've got Mark on the line. Mark, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing very well.
I was actually encouraged today by Lindy Ruff. I'm taken back to Casey Mittelstadt's comments when he went over to Colorado, saying that after his first practice that he hadn't skated that much. And I'm thinking, well, what the heck are we doing? You know, that was kind of my feeling, and I was encouraged by a hard skate today. But going to football real quick, I'd love to see a Tyler Bass walk-off Monday night. I'm just throwing that in there. I know it's not on topic, but my gosh, if there's anyone that needs it, it's this guy, right?
But it would definitely help the vibes. It'd feel good.
Hey, what's a good time to get there on Monday? My buddies are telling me noon, and my girlfriend's just not happy about it. She's working, so I don't know how to squeeze that one in there, but I'm going to have to listen to you guys. Thanks, boys.
Thanks for the call, Mark. I mean, noon is not a bad call. Remember, it is starting earlier than most other Monday Night Football
7:15.
Games. Yeah, it's an hour earlier. It is a Monday Night doubleheader. Cincinnati-Washington is the other game. Noon, I mean, if you want to tailgate, that's probably the right answer is noon.
Yeah, if you're not tailgating, though,
probably still like 4?
Yeah, 4, maybe 5.
It's going to be earlier.
The traffic is the one thing you want to plan for. Like, that's the tough part is if you want to be walking in like at like 6:30, let's say.
Yeah.
You're going to want to give yourself enough time to get to the stadium. So you're going to want to like plan to be there at 4. Like,
yep.
Leave your house, depending on where you live, leave your house like you want to get there at like 4:30.
Yep.
Even though you're going to probably get there at like 6:30.
Only thing though, just I will say on Tyler Bass, sure, I'd love it for his like confidence and fans' confidence in him. If they have to walk off the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm not in a good spot.
The
for
whole
like
time
two
that ball
hours.
Is in the air, even though it would probably only be about like 3 seconds total at the most.
An eternity.
I would,
it's an eternity.
It would not be good for my mental health.
I'm telling you. And we talked with Sal Capaccio earlier today as well, because the Bills are kind of starting their game week today. And you know, he's a big proponent of like not looking back at the past. I am the exact opposite. I almost look at the past too much. And so, yeah, like, sure, Tyrod versus Blake Bortles, that happened yesterday in my mind. Like, so, like, I am the person that sees the Jaguars helmet and just is like the meme of the soldier in war having just like the big bug eyed. Like, that's me whenever I see the Jaguars coming up. I do not like playing them. It always devolves into a terrible game. They're always a really bad team. The Bills are at worst okay, and it never goes well. The only time I'm now remembering that, like, for me personally, it felt good was the Allen versus Ramsey rookie year, in which Allen had, I would still argue, his best throw to Robert Foster as he's getting like just crunched in the pocket, like a 60-yard bomb.
Yeah.
That still have zero idea how it got there. Easily one of the best throws, if in my opinion, his best throw of his career. It's going to do it for me and Josh today. We'll be back on tomorrow, as that'll be our last stop of the week. So we'll kind of give our predictions for the NFL week coming up. But after a short timeout, sticking with hockey, as Sabres Live will join you next after a quick timeout. This is WGR.